We're honored to have you here, Pastor John. Is that what you go by, Pastor John? And PJ and Gary. Gary got saved, healed, delivered, correct? It's called Adam's Apple Coffee House. And help me with names, guys. Help me introduce Faye. Everybody.
Faye, and that's PJ's wife, Deborah Lloyd.
It's so good to have y'all out. And y'all are getting along pretty good, even though you're four seats away from her. Okay. But PJ is going to do a couple of tunes for us. So praise the Lord. Yeah, let's worship. And let's act like we can get excited about it, huh? Good job, worship team. That was exciting, man.
Well, I had a real experience with the Lord that changed my life forever. Had an out-of-body experience with the Lord. I've never been the same. And everything in my life changed after that, and there was no going back. And the Lord... I was in the Army when it happened, actually. And when I got out, the Lord led me to Calvary Temple in Fort Wayne, and Dr. Paul Pano kind of took me under his wing and saw that God had something for my life. And he asked me if I'd be willing to start a coffee house to reach the hippie generation. I said, that sounds like it's kind of right down my alley. I know it's hard to believe I had long hair once. I mean, even had hair, you know, but... This got so out of tune so fast. Well, first one's kind of humorous. This was written by a young man who got saved in the Adam's Apple. It was called the Adam's Apple. And we started a newspaper called Hardcore. From the Adam's Apple. And it showed Apple Core and it said Hardcore and it looked like a hippie underground newspaper. And I remember there was no contemporary Christian music when we started this. I didn't know what we were going to do. I knew that whatever I did was going to run out real quick. And these three guys came out. We were working out in front getting ready to move into this place in downtown Fort Wayne. And they said, stiff will go hippie long hair. Like, wow, man. Like, dude, like, man, can we play in your coffee house, man? I said, well, what are you guys into? Oh, man, you know, like moody blues, man. You know, I said, well, how about Jesus? You guys into Jesus? Oh, yeah, man. We're into Jesus. We read the Urantia book and believe he's an interplanetary space traveler. I said, we'll talk about this later, all right? And that's what we did. And those guys did secular music. And I told them, why don't you just do short songs? Now I'm going to preach. And that summer, we saw hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids get saved. All those guys got saved, and that band all got saved. Matter of fact, one of them became the drummer for Petra, and Petra moved to Fort Wayne and became our house band. So anyway, this first song is written by a guy named Tim Briggs, and he got saved that summer and started a band, and he did some great songs. This one has a little humor in it, all right? Goes.
Okay for the Methodist, but somehow it just don't seem fair. That's all right. That's all right. Mama, that's all right with me. Well, Buddha, Krishna, Maharishi, sounds to me like something's fishy. The real Messiah is Jesus Christ. Compared to them others, he's a trillion times as nice. And that's all right. Yeah, that's all right. Mama, that's all right. Mm-hmm. they say they're nothing meaner than a grizzly's breath. I'll tell you something worth, it's a second death. And my salvation has been supplied, and you can bet your boots I ain't getting fried. Oh, that's all right. That's all right. Mama, that's all right with me. You'll like this. Well, the founder of the college name, O-R-U, he's healed a whole lot of people. He could have probably healed you. I respect this man for his high standing morals, but who'd want to go and name a little baby Oral? But that's all right. Yeah, that's all right. If it's all right with his mama, it's all right with me. Well, there's so many gods in the world today, it's hard to know to which one to pray. All these saviors are messing up my head with a real Messiah raised from the dead. Ooh, yeah, and that's all right. Yeah, that's all right. Mama, that's all right. Mama, that's all right. Mama, that's all right with me. Everybody said, ow! Everybody said, ow! That's pretty good. Did you hurt? I mean, ow! Okay, here we go. I want to do another song that it was recorded by Hillsong, but I completely changed the melody. I made it into kind of a Latin kind of sounding thing. And so let's try that and see. Here we go. Reaching for the prize, I'm giving everything. I'll give my life for this, is what I live for. Nothing will keep me from all that you have for me. You hold my head up high, I live for you. Greater is he living in me than he that is in the world. Oh, faith, I can move a mountain. I can do all things through Christ. I know faith. Standing and believing, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm reaching for the prize, I'm giving everything. I give my life for this, it's what I live for. Nothing will keep me from all that you have for me. You hold my head up high, I live for you. Greater is he living in me than he that is in the world. Hey, faith, I can move a mountain. I can do all things through Christ. I know faith, standing and believing. I can do all things through Christ. You strengthen me. I know faith, standing and believing I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Yeah, faith, I can move a mountain, I can do all things through Christ. I know faith, standing and believing I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. One more short song, and this is, you know, a worship song. Just when I heard it, I thought, boy, what a great song. And it goes like this. Let me get this off. I'm tired of pulling my mustache. It's one thing. In the beauty of holiness, in the glory of your righteousness, in nothing less, we worship you, O Lord. With life your mighty power is cleansed, we lift you high, your name we bless. In the beauty of holiness, we worship you, O Lord. With countless saints and angels, we proclaim your fame. Holy, holy, holy is your name. With lives your mighty power is cleansed, we lift you high, your name we bless. In the beauty of holiness, we worship you, O Lord. Oh, we worship you, O Lord. We worship you, O Lord. Lord, we thank you for your presence that's here. First time, Lord, I walked into this building, Lord, I knew you were here. What a great prayer meeting we had. I thank you, Lord God, for the leadership, for this pastor that loves you and has given everything for you. We thank you, God, for your presence. We thank you for the good things that you have ahead for this church, that you're going to draw people in from the northeast, south, and west. They're not going to be able to stay in this building. You've got great things ahead. Today, Lord, we all stand together, Lord, in unity. We speak forth, Lord God, an anointing that's going to break every yoke, that's going to draw people in. They're going to be saved. They're going to be delivered. You're going to change families. You're going to bring couples back together. We thank you, oh God, for your goodness. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. You just continue to minister to our hearts this morning. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Hey, praise the Lord. Since, you know, I feel like the Holy Spirit leading right now, Gary, that has come with PJ, I just felt like, I don't know of any families these days that have not been affected by addiction. I know I was affected, you know, I came up in that time period, and some worse than others, some alcohol, some drugs, but I know that Opal told me that you had a powerful testimony of deliverance. So would you mind sharing that with us briefly? I really think we need to hear that, because I believe it'll give you hope if you know somebody that's addicted or family member, or maybe you yourself need to get free of something. But Lord bless him. Let's put our hands up here. Lord, we make demand on the anointing that's in our brother. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done. We thank you for what you're about to do. And they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they love not their life even unto death. In Jesus' name. Gary, I don't know what your last name is, brother.
Mick L. Frisch, McElfrisch.
McElfrisch.
I'm just a real tall leprechaun.
Share with us, brother.
Could I have a bottle of water?
Yes, you could. Somebody get him a bottle of water.
Been struggling with a little cold.
I turned up a bottle of water. Somebody thankfully put out here for me this morning, and it was like lemon. I thought I got some spoiled water. Whoa.
Yeah, I just about live on water. I became a vegetarian about 6 years ago, and except for God, that just about changed my life, and I'm thankful I made that decision. Well, I come from a really small town in central Indiana, and as when the drug culture came around, I was ripe for pickings, you know, and like a lot of young people were at that time. Now, bear with me. This is really close to my heart. So, so I started doing drugs and started with gateway drugs of marijuana and whatnot, just kind of goofing around, trying it out and stuff. And then, long story short, I graduated LSD and marijuana, and I became a dealer, you know, at a very young age, and went through all of that. And one time, this was in summer of 72. 1972, and I was kind of in the thick of everything, and I do a little artwork now and then, and I had my drawing tablet out and sitting cross-legged on the floor listening to rock and roll and stuff, you know, the usual routine, and there's this one song. It was a rock and roll love song, "Twas It Loves," but just a quick step back, I grew up in a Nazarene church. And my mother made sure us kids went to church every Sunday. Said, you will go to church, and you will like it. You know? and so I went till I was like 15 pretty faithfully. And I mean, every Sunday we dressed up and went to church. And so that seed dropped in my heart at a very, very early age. And it was always there, even through the thick of the drug culture. And so I'm sitting down listening to this love song. And it says something like, "I'm walking behind you. And I've been forgiven since you came into my heart." Well, I was under the influence of LSD right at that moment. I'd been high for about 2 hours, maybe 3 hours. I was just kind of out there, okay? And so I heard those lyrics, and I'm going, "What is that? I've heard this before." That just rang a bell, you know? I'm going, "What? That sounds like a salvation message. You know, I've been forgiven since you came into my heart. What is that?" And during that time frame, I hung around with some people that when we were dealing and smoking dope, we'd go to people's houses, you know, and we'd pass back and forth paperbacks of philosophy and theology, mysticism, Nietzsche and Ken Kesey and all this Oriental religion and stuff like that. And in the process of that, you know, we sit around and talk about it all the time. And so, anywho, I heard this. And all of a sudden, in the midst of this, it could have been 3 minutes, could have been 3 hours. I don't even know how long it took. But all of a sudden, I got my hands up in the air. And I got tears coming down my face. I'm high now. Bear in mind, I'm just really stoned on LSD. I got my hands up in the air. Tears coming down my face. And I'm praising God. And I hadn't done that since I was 6 years old. I was 21 years old at that time. And I don't know how long that time frame lasted, but at the end of this time frame, I was no longer high. I was straight as an arrow. Straight as an arrow. I was addicted to 5 different drugs at once, simultaneously. I was doing LSD. I was doing opium. I was doing hashish. I was doing marijuana. I was doing amphetamines all the time, just constant circle. Okay. So I owed people money and got paranoid and kind of freaking out a little bit. And I had this phenomena take place. And I knew something was different about me. Something just really happened. And I didn't know exactly what it was. And my thinking started changing. I said, "Well, I want to feel as good as I do on drugs without drugs." That's what popped into my head. How can I do that? So I went back home, moved in with my parents, and the first thing I did, I blew the dust off my Bible. And when I was like 15, I remember making a 15, 14, I remember making a decision with God. So, well, I'm going to put my Bible on the shelf. And I'm not going to read it no more. I'm not going to go to church no more. I don't want to go to church anyway, but I went, you know. I didn't believe in it anymore. I just, it was just a good time. I was just there to, you know, be with the crowd, be with girls. I wanted a girlfriend. You know how that is. And you're real young and stupid, you know, and that's all you think about. So, you know, so fast forward, I'm back home. Like I read my Bible through in about 6 months, maybe twice. And I go back and forth to a local small town library, and I was reading theology and my Bible and philosophy, and I was comparing everything with my Bible, and then sooner or later, I ended up with just my Bible, you know. And I read that through absolutely in about 3 months. And so I come, I'm at home still, and everybody's wondering what I'm up to, you know, and they knew what I was. They didn't know exactly what was happening with me now, you know, and they're going, is he just playing some religious plastic Jesus on the dashboard of the Ford or something, or what's going on with him, you know? And I go to the family gatherings, you know, and I'd have a Bible with me all the time, you know, and I'd be preaching to my stepdad and my sisters and stuff, and they said, hey, man, that's cool for you. Just back off, you know. Just back off, you know. And so a few years went on, and I joined the Navy, and they told me, they said, well, we'll send you to art school. That was their hook to get me in, and they wanted to send me to art school. That was cool, but I had a heart murmur that I didn't tell them about, and after about 8 months, they said, well, we're going to have to let you go. You're not keeping up with the ranks, you know, and so they gave me an honorable discharge, medical honorable discharge, and I was really disappointed because I wanted to go to art school. And so I came back home and tried to regroup and everything. And I had a friend I grew up in high school with, his name is Steve Bricker. And I heard about him. He was in Fort Wayne, you know. And at that time frame, I knew that I had dedicated my life to Christ again. I knew I've rededicated him. I knew what was going on at that point. And I heard about him, and I thought, wow, Steve Bricker. Became a Christian? Really? Of all the people on the planet? He was out there. I mean, way. He came to a little small rural town and built a hippie shop. You buy paraphernalia and posters, black lights, and all that. Anyway, he got saved, man. And he's going to this place called the Adam's Apple. An Adam's what? Adam's Apple, okay. And so I moved in with him, about three other guys, and one of the guys was Greg Hogue, and he was one of the rhythm guitarists for Petra. And I didn't know what was going on, you know, but I knew I was saved. I knew absolutely I was saved. And I bit my teeth going to Adam's Apple and going to Calvary Temple. And there were so many people, hundreds, if not thousands of people. Fort Wayne, like, became a mecca of Jesus music. There's probably 35, 40 different personalities that run through the Adam's Apple during that 10-year span when John was there. And there's so many things, wonderful things happen to people there. And they have free concerts every Friday night. Free. This was, you know, that was a, but sometimes you know, pay a little donation, you know. And I remember one time Larry Norman came and he wanted like $2, imagine $2 for a concert, $2. Can't imagine that now, but it was amazing, really amazing. And God just transformed my life. And the thing is, now, fast forward again up to today, okay? I don't know if all of you keep up with the media and the news and stuff like that, but of all the drugs to be popularized in the last 5 years, heroin, I'm telling you, heroin. Kids are doing heroin, okay? And like, man, I never put a needle in my vein. I didn't want to do that. That didn't make me special or anything. It's just that's just something I didn't do, you know? it's just heartbreaking. My own sister, her son got hooked up with it briefly, and he's never been the same since. He's just off and on, off and on, off and on, off and on. And I kept telling him, man, you need rehab. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need rehab at least. And, you know, I know the Salvation Army has a free rehab. And it's one of the best there is. Now, I met David Wilkerson in Lubbock, Texas when I lived down there. And he started what was called Teen Challenge in New York City at Times Square Church. And I met another man that came back from Times Square Church. He came to Fort Wayne, and he lived with us in the house there for just briefly. And his name was Robert. And he was a 15-year heroin addict. And he and I shared stories. He says, yeah, mine was overnight too. I said, really? He said, you never had detox for heroin? You never had counseling or nothing? He said, yeah, man, it was just overnight. He said, I started praying and the Spirit of God landed on me. I was desperate. He said, I was desperate to be loved. I was desperate to be accepted by God, number one, and by people, number two, okay, by my family, number three, my normal family. I wanted to be accepted and loved by them. And about a month and a half ago, we had the Adam's Apple reunion, and I talked to a man named Willie Bolden. And it just occurred to me, I said, I need to talk to you, Willie. And I said, yeah, let's sit down a minute. And we had a face-to-face, and he says, look, you know, it just occurred to me that these people now, in the drug culture now, there are far different issues that we're struggling with. And he said, they need to be accepted into the body of Christ. Yeah. I mean, piercings, tattoos, purple hair and all. You need. Some of them are going to be musicians, okay? They're going to be standing on this platform. And some of them are pretty good musicians, I'm here to tell you. Some of them really are. And they're going to want to be loved, okay? And you got to prepare yourself for these young people to come in. Amen. And I remember the story that Chuck Gerard gave. He was the leader of Love Song. It was a Jesus band back in the day. And he had this testimony. He said they got saved and everything and put their name out there for ministry. They were saved about a year. And so they put their name out because they wanted to minister, you know. And they used the folk music and the rock and roll and a little bit of jazz in their music. And they put Christian lyrics to it, okay, just like John did. And so this pastor calls him and says, yeah, can you come out? I'm having a revival. Can you come to my church? And he said, sure. So where are you? I said, well, I'm in the Midwest somewhere, you know. So they came. It's in the middle of a snow blizzard, a terrible blizzard. So they pull up in their van. You know, they got all their equipment and everything. They're crammed like sardines into this van for like 400 miles they traveled. And so he knocks on the door. There's snow blowing everywhere, you know. Chuck knocks on the door, you know, and pastor opens the door. And pastor does one of these. He goes, says, who are you? I said, well, I'm Chuck Gerard. You called me about coming for a revival? He says, well, you cut your hair and your beard and change clothes and you can come back. Well, they negotiated. Okay, they negotiated. And they didn't have to do that. He let them stay and play. And it was a wonderful time. People got saved. And so at the end of the service, it's really a real funny little thing. Your quintessential gray-haired little old lady walks up to this platform, and she's told Chuck, she said, oh, I'm so glad Jesus cleaned up your heart and you got a wonderful life. Well, I just wish he'd clean up your outside, too. But, you know, I've said all that to say this. I'm just telling you about your Christ. You got to be ready. You want to go out and hit the streets in your daily routine. When you're going to the bank, when you're going to the grocery, you may be in it, go to Walmart. You know, just walk across the parking lot and just pray. Say, well, is there anybody here I can pray for? You know, and don't take much. Just a little, two or three words, you know, and just strike up a conversation just out of nothing, you know. And you know, people are more open than what you think. They really are. You know, you got to conquer that fear. God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. See, that's from God. That's what God does for you. You know, you don't have to be bold and aggressive and out here swinging a Bible. And you don't have to do all that. People, just be normal. Just be yourself. Live in your own skin, you know, and be who you are. You know, there's only one of you that God made. And you can be you better than anybody else can, because that's the way God made you. And just be yourself, you know, and just casually approach people and say, you know, you could be, your gals could be in the market, you know, buying groceries or whatever, you know, and see some other gal, and you might be talking about groceries or something. You know, well, how much is that? Have you bought any of that? You know, whatever. You know, guys, you may be at the bank, you know, or making a deal or getting some money or something, you know, or just walking across the parking lot at Walmart. You know, you may see somebody that maybe they're wearing a cast or something, you know, or you can tell that that guy needs prayer, you know. And here's a rule of thumb that I use. Men pray with men and women pray with women. Okay, let's keep that straight. That's a good rule, really. It's the only rule I really have to that. You know, and it works. That's all I can do. And, you know, it's just amazing. I was telling John, I told him a couple of times now since we've been together this weekend. I said, this is just a supernatural act, me even being here having this conversation. You know, and I never dreamed anything like this would happen. Just furthest thing from my mind. You know, this is totally a supernatural move of God that I'm even here. And I have no idea. All I know is whatever happens, it's going to be God. It's going to be God. There's no doubt about it. This is a golden moment. This is a golden moment. I just know it is. And I just praise God for my life, the way things are, exactly the way they are. I praise God for the good, the bad, and the ugly in my life. The last one's the one people have trouble with, the ugly. I praise him in the middle of it. You go to Psalms 119, and it's all through the 119 that, you know, because I am afflicted, I am praising God. I became closer to God because of my affliction. I started praising God for my affliction. Not necessarily in the middle of it, but for it. Because without that happening, it wouldn't have drove you to God. We got to remember that. It says it in Philippians too. Paul was in prison and he was praising God. You know? And Peter was praising God in jail, and the jailer got saved. The cells opened up. The angel escorted him out of jail. Can that happen now? Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe we're going to see the supernatural like we, not since the days of Moses. I'm telling you. You can believe it if you want. We're going to see signs, miracles, and wonders that we have never imagined that would ever happen. Prepare your heart for it, because it's going to happen. Trust me. Trust me. It's going to happen. Let's praise God.
Thank you, brother. Stay up here a minute. Hey, man, if the Lord has spoken to your heart and you know that there's freedom for you and you believe what this man said, if you believe that he got delivered and free by just raising his hands and calling out to Jesus, and you believe that the guy got delivered from heroin by just calling out to Jesus, no withdrawal, no symptoms like that. If you believe that and you need that, come here right now. If you need to be delivered from anything, cigarettes, drugs, anything, God wants to deliver you. He wants to deliver you. Come on, pray with these. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on up here, Chuck. Come on up here, Danny. Come on up here, Mike. Come on, this is a time of deliverance. If you need deliverance, if you need Jesus to come into your life, if you believe he's the Savior of the world, if you believe he shed his blood so you could be free, come up here right now. Come up here right now if you need him. If you need him, come on, come on, come on, come on. Man, two Saturdays ago, I think. I went to a funeral this last week. and Rachel's nephew got killed out here on 135. Head on, I don't know what kind of collision it was, but he was dead on the scene. He was that quick, he went into eternity. Do you know him? Do you want to be free? Okay, anybody that, I know that you came here to get healing. He came to get healing for his body, didn't he? Chase, where's his mama at? She's up here? We're going to wait, and we're going to pray for anybody that's physically ill. You need a healing in your body. God is a healer. In Jesus' name, come on up here. We'll pray for you right now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.